Hello, and welcome to Silver Threads, a weekly program of information on how you can make your senior years shine. I'm Kathy Van Skoik. So far, Mother Nature has offered unusual and often extreme weather in nearly all parts of the U.S. In November, in Rochester, New York, where I reside, the temperature on November 18th was 73 degrees. By the 20th, it had dropped to 37 degrees, and snow on the ground on the 21st, over 14 inches. Perhaps the best advice with respect to weather is to expect the unexpected. For many of us, winter will bring potential hazards, which may or may not surprise, but best be well planned for. To that end, the following articles. From the Senior Blog, December 2015, 5 Winter Hazards and How Seniors Can Avoid Them. Next Avenue's December 2014, 9 Ways to Protect Yourself from Falls. The National Institute on Aging's Hypothermia, a Cold Weather Hazard. A surprising source, Indian River County Department of Emergency Services in Vero Beach, Florida. And the Huffington Post, January 2016, Yes, You Can Die from Shoveling Snow. 5 Winter Hazards. We are all affected by the bitter cold weather that winter brings each year, but for seniors in particular, this time presents many winter challenges and hazards. Fortunately, with knowledge and planning, seniors can avoid them. Number 1, cold, ice, and snow. The most obvious perils of winter are from the weather itself. Falls, slips on ice are a major risk for seniors in winter, so it's important to wear shoes with appropriate traction. Driving. Ice and snow can present major dangers on the road. Seniors should avoid driving when road conditions are at their worst, and those who do drive should be prepared for the conditions. Drive slowly, make sure snow tires are installed when appropriate, and keep blankets and food in the car should the vehicle be stranded or disabled. Frostbite and hypothermia. Cold temperatures can cause hypothermia and frostbite, and according to the Centers for Disease Control, more than half of hypothermia deaths are among seniors. Older adults who do venture outside in cold weather should make sure they dress warmly. Much more on hypothermia to come. A second hazard, social isolation. The very hazards that we outlined before there can lead to seniors becoming socially isolated. If older people have been spending a lot of time alone at home due to inclement weather, they should try to have visitors as often as they can, spend a little extra time with family and friends. You can also arrange transportation to local senior centers for you and or your loved one. The flu season. With winter comes the flu, which seniors are especially susceptible to developing because of weakened immune systems. The flu causes a significant number of fatalities among seniors each year, and it can also lead to secondary infections such as pneumonia. Seasonal affective disorder, or SAD, with the wintertime blues. Many people experience a decrease in mood and energy during the winter, which is caused by decreased daytime light in the winter. This phenomenon is known as seasonal affective disorder, or SAD. Those who live in northern states, where the daytime is shorter, are at the highest risk. Open curtains and blinds during winter to let natural lighting in. Light therapy, using a full-spectrum light available at many box stores, can also be used to prevent or alleviate the wintertime blues. But seniors experiencing depression should talk to their doctors. Decreased daylight, dementia, and sundowning. Seniors with Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia sometimes experience sundowner syndrome, which manifests itself as increased memory loss, confusion, agitation, and even anger during the evening hours. Sundowning is often exacerbated during the low-light conditions of winter because the season's low light can disrupt our body's internal day-night clock, known as circadian rhythms. Quoted in an article about sundowning and daylight saving times, Dr. Lindsay Jones-Bourne says, Seasonality can definitely impact symptoms, which is why it's so important to maintain a regular schedule and do things to lessen the impact of loss of light on these individuals. And now going on to Next Avenue's 9 ways to protect yourself from falls. Snowstorms, freezing rains, and ice are all a reality this time of year in many parts of the country, and unless you're planning on holing up in your house until spring thaw or live in a no-snow zone, it's good to bet that one day you'll step outside and be confronted with slipping and sliding, or worse. Falls are no laughing matter. 20-30% of them in adults over 65 cause moderate to severe injuries, lack of independence, or even death. In 2011, over 22,000 older adults died from unintentional fall injuries, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And nearly 50% of falls among older people happen, you guessed it, outside, according to a published article in the Journal of American Geriatrics Society. Remember diet guru Dr. Robert Atkins? His unfortunate death at 72 occurred not as a result of eating the wrong foods, but from a head injury due to a fall on icy sidewalks outside his New York City office. Many falls can be avoided, however. Safe outside this winter, and these tips should help. Get physical. The stronger and fitter you are, the less likely you are to fall, says physical therapist Meredith Hines-Harris, a professor emeritus at Northeastern University in Boston, Massachusetts. The less you move, the weaker you get, she explains. Exercising can help prevent falls because it makes your muscles stronger and more flexible and helps improve your balance. Hines-Harris suggests incorporating this simple one-leg stand into your everyday routine at home. While brushing your teeth, stand on one foot, hold for 5 to 6 seconds, then switch to the other. Second, watch your step. It may sound obvious to look at where you're going before you start moving, but we all can easily get distracted. Always assume that all wet and dark areas on pavement are slippery and icy. Dangerous slippery ice could be lurking underneath that blanket of light, fluffy snow, too. Just because you don't see ice doesn't mean it's not there. Test out potentially slick areas by tapping your foot on them first. If you must walk up or downhill, consider walking along its grassy edge for better traction. Hines-Harris also suggests looking in advance for something to grab onto in case you do start to fall. And this third one surprised me. Wear socks over your shoes. Go ahead and start a new winter fashion trend, all in the name of safety. Socks are not only good for keeping your piggies warm under your shoes or boots. A study published in the New Zealand Medical Journal found that wearing socks over shoes was an effective and inexpensive way to increase traction on icy footpaths and reduce your likelihood of slipping. When observing people wearing socks over shoes versus people wearing only shoes, the researchers found that those with their socks on the outside not only slipped less, but walked with more confidence than the people wearing just shoes. Number 4, do the shuffle. Now is not the time to maintain your regular graceful gait. Instead, pretend you're a penguin. Take short, flat-footed baby steps, pointing your feet out slightly while spreading your body weight as evenly as possible over the entire surface of your feet. Curling your toes under can help you stay more flat-footed. Walking sideways also increases your base of support, says Hines-Harris. In either case, make sure your knees are bent, and you also bend a little at the hip, she notes, and build in extra time to get to your destination. Stopping occasionally can help break the momentum that walking builds up. Keep your hands in your pockets. Keeping your hands in your pockets might increase their warmth, but it decreases your center of gravity and balance. Better to extend your arms out to your sides and wear gloves so that you can break your fall if you do slip. If you must carry something in your hands, try to keep it light. If your hands are too full, you can also become distracted if you slip, said Hines-Harris, who also likes Nordic poles for walking outside. In Denmark, elderly people use them, as opposed to canes, because it makes them look more athletic and vigorous while giving them stability, she notes. Stay out of the street. If you must walk in the street, walk on the right side of the road toward oncoming traffic, staying as close to the curb as possible. Wearing bright or reflective clothing will help drivers see you better, too. But be careful about hoods and scarves, which can block your vision and make it hard for you to hear traffic. Likewise, be aware of snowdrifts, which can muffle the sound of approaching cars. Choose your shoes wisely. Sneakers are comfortable, but they don't mix with snow. So swap out your sneaks for footwear that provides traction, like boots made of non-slip rubber or neoprene. Grooved soles can improve traction between the walking surface and the sole, while flat leather or plastic-soled shoes give you minimal resistance. Or consider crampons, which is what professional ice and glacier climbers use for stability. These slip on over existing shoes. The spikes on their metal plates help give you better traction. Crampons are becoming more mainstream and lightweight. For everyday winter walking, aluminum or steel work best. And there are also the items known as yak tracks. Number 8, carry kitty litter. Bring a little bag of kitty litter along with you on your walk, sprinkle it on the ground, and it can add traction to slippery surfaces. And finally, curb your fear. It's common to be afraid of falling again once you have fallen, even if that experience didn't cause an injury. That fear might also cause you to stay at home, away from all of the things that you like to do. But muscles and bones can weaken over time if you don't use them, and then you could become more, not less likely to suffer a fall. Fear of falling can be more debilitating than the injury itself, says Heinz Harris. And now from the Institute on Aging, more about hypothermia. Edgar is a retired mailman. Every winter there are a few snowstorms in Virginia where he lives. One day last year, the temperature hovered around 10 degrees Fahrenheit, and a snowstorm left 2 feet of snow on the ground, causing the power lines to snap. The temperature inside Edgar's apartment quickly dropped to 55 degrees. When his neighbor checked on him the next day, Edgar was confused and his speech was slurred. He was taken to emergency, where the doctor examined him, and it turns out that Edgar had hypothermia. Almost everyone knows about winter dangers for older people, such as broken bones from falls on ice or breathing problems caused by cold air. But not everyone knows that cold weather can also lower the temperature inside your body. This drop in body temperature is called hypothermia, and it can be deadly if not treated quickly. Hypothermia can happen anywhere, not just outside, and not just in the northern states. In fact, some older people can have a mild form of hypothermia if the temperature in their home is too cool. So what are the signs of hypothermia? When you think about being cold, you probably think of shivering. And that is one way the body stays warm when it gets cold, but shivering alone does not mean you have hypothermia. How do you know if someone has it? Look for the umbles, the stumbles, mumbles, fumbles, and grumbles. These show that the cold is a problem. Check for confusion or sleepiness, slowed, slurred speech or shallow breathing, weak pulse, change in behavior or in the way a person looks, a lot of shivering or no shivering, and stiffness in the arms or legs, as well as poor control over body movements or slow reactions. Well, how do you stay safe? Try to stay away from cold places. Changes in your body that come with aging can make it harder for you to be aware of getting cold. You may not always be able to warm yourself, so pay attention to how cold it is where you are. Check weather forecasts for windy and cold weather and try to stay inside or in a warm place on cold and windy days. If you have to go out, wear warm clothes, including a hat and gloves. A waterproof coat or jacket can help you stay warm if it's cold and snowy. Wear several layers of loose clothing when it's cold. The layers will help trap warm air between them. And don't wear tight clothing because it can keep your blood from flowing freely. This can lead to loss of body heat. It's a good idea to ask your doctor how the medicines you are taking affect body heat. Some medicines used by older people can increase the risk of accidental hypothermia. These include drugs used to treat anxiety, depression, or nausea. Some over-the-counter cold remedies can also cause problems. When the temperature has dropped, drink alcohol moderately, if at all. Alcoholic drinks can make you lose body heat. And make sure you eat enough food to keep up your weight. If you don't eat well, you might have less fat under your skin. Body fat helps you to stay warm. Some illnesses may make it harder for your body to stay warm. These include problems with your body's hormone system, such as low thyroid hormone, hypothyroidism, health problems that keep blood from flowing normally, such as diabetes, and some skin problems where your body loses more heat than normal. Some health problems may make it hard for you to put on more clothes, use a blanket, or get out of the cold. For example, severe arthritis, Parkinson's disease, or other illnesses that make it tough to move around, stroke or other illnesses that can leave you paralyzed and may make clear thinking more difficult, memory loss, and a fall or another injury. Well, staying warm inside. Being in a cold building can also cause hypothermia. In fact, hypothermia can happen to someone in a nursing home or a group facility if the rooms are not kept warm enough. People who are already sick may have special problems keeping warm. If someone you know is in a group facility, pay attention to the inside temperature and to what that person is dressed warmly enough or not. Even if you keep your temperature between 60 and 65, your home or apartment may not be warm enough to keep you safe. For some people, this temperature can contribute to hypothermia. There is a special problem if you live alone because there is no one else to feel the chilliness of the house or notice if you are having symptoms of hypothermia. So set your thermostat for at least 68 to 70 degrees Fahrenheit. If a power outage leaves you without heat, try to stay with a relative or friend. You may be tempted to warm your room with a space heater. But some space heaters are fire hazards and others can cause carbon monoxide poisoning. The Consumer Product Safety Commission has information on the use of space heaters, but here are a few things to keep in mind. Make sure your space heater has been approved by a recognized testing laboratory. Choose the right size heater for the space you are heating and put the heater on a flat level surface that will not burn. Keep children and pets away from the heating element, of course, and keep things that catch fire like paint, clothing, bedding, curtains, and papers away from the heating element. If your heater has a flame, keep a window open at least 1 inch and doors open to the rest of your home for good airflow. Turn the heater off when you leave the room or go to bed, and make sure your smoke alarms are working. Put a carbon monoxide detector near where people sleep and keep an approved fire extinguisher nearby. Well, is there help for my heating bills? If you are having a hard time paying your heating bills, there are some resources that might help. If your home doesn't have enough insulation, contact your state or local energy agency or the local power or gas company. They may be able to give you information about weatherizing your home. This can help keep the heating bills down. You might also think about only heating the rooms you use in the house. For example, shut the heating vents and doors to any bedrooms not being used. Also, keep the basement door closed. If you have a limited income, you may qualify for help paying your heating bill. State and local energy agencies or gas and electric companies may have special programs. Another possible source of help is the Low Income Home Energy Assistance Program. This program helps some people with limited incomes who need help paying their heating and cooling bills. Your local area agency on aging, senior center, or community action agency may have information on those programs. Plan ahead for cold weather. Make sure your furnace is working and you've got a warm coat and hat and gloves in the closet. If necessary, get help with shoveling the ice or snow. Being prepared will help ensure a safe and warmer winter. You might want to visit the NIH Senior Health website. This is www.nihseniorhealth.gov. It's a senior-friendly website from the National Institute on Aging and National Library of Medicine. This website has health information for older adults. Special features make it simple to use. For example, you can click a button to have the text read out loud or to make the type larger. That's the National Institute of Health. And now for this most unusual resource, winter safety tips for seniors from the Indian River County Department of Emergency Services, Vero Beach, Florida. In addition to having your heating system checked and your smoke alarms and carbon monoxide detectors near bedrooms and making sure you have plenty of warm blankets and working flashlights, they say keep an emergency supply of canned goods and necessities in your home. You should always be prepared in the event you can't leave home. Have a battery-powered portable radio available. This will allow you to obtain weather reports and other emergency news in the event of a power outage, in case power lines are disabled. It's also advisable to have a cell phone for emergency use. Most of us have them now at this point, I believe. Stock up on medicines you may need, and if you have a home health care service, plan ahead with that agency to establish emergency procedures and pre-arrange for someone to check on you in the event of a weather emergency. Well, yes, you can die from shoveling snow. This is from the Healthy Living section of the Huffington Post, January 2016, by Anna Almidrala. Middle-aged denizens of the Northeast take extra care. Storms that result in nearly 20 deaths, such as last year's winter storm Jonas, according to the New York Times, 6 people died while shoveling snow or shortly afterward, and at least 2 of them had suffered either a cardiac arrest or a heart attack. This isn't unusual. Snow shoveling is uniquely deadly for middle-aged, sedentary, and older people because of the risk it poses to the heart. The mix of intense physical exertion and weather so cold it can constrict blood vessels can be a fatal mix for people who are usually sedentary or are at an elevated risk for heart attack. While heart attacks from snow shoveling are relatively rare, they are the most dangerous kind of injury that can result from a winter chore. Americans make approximately 11,500 visits to the emergency room every year due to snow shoveling injuries, which can include fractures, soft tissue injuries, and even cardiac symptoms, according to a 17-year study published in 2011. While heart-related injuries only make up about 7% of these visits, they were responsible for 100% of the 1,647 snow shoveling-related fatalities recorded in the study. The cardiac symptoms are most likely to strike men over 55 years old. In order to prevent cardiac symptoms while shoveling snow, the American Heart Association advises people to take frequent breaks and use a small shovel while working, as lifting large amounts of snow can spike blood pressure. If at all possible, push the snow instead of shoveling it. People should also avoid eating a heavy meal beforehand and avoid alcohol both before and after the shoveling session. But the most important precaution shovelers should take is to first educate themselves on the signs and symptoms of heart trouble, so that they know to seek medical attention immediately if anything happens. According to the AHA, these symptoms include chest discomfort that feels like pressure, squeezing, fullness or pain, as well as nausea, vomiting, shortness of breath, and pain in the arms, back, neck, jaw, or stomach. People who are at high risk of a heart attack, like smokers or people who don't exercise, and those with a history of heart disease, heart attack, high blood pressure, or high cholesterol, should ask their doctor before they start shoveling snow. And now I'm going to repeat some of those signs and symptoms of hypothermia because it is such a critical issue this time of year. I'm going back to Vero Beach's brochure, Guarding Against Hypothermia. Classified as a drop of body temperature below 96 degrees, medical experts believe certain conditions such as stroke, severe arthritis, Parkinson's disease can block the body's response to cold, as can some medications. That makes seniors particularly susceptible to accidental hypothermia. So here are the symptoms, signs again: uncontrollable shivering, numbness, confusion, disorientation, drowsiness, stiff muscles, slurred speech, slow, shallow breathing, slow, irregular heartbeat, weak pulse, and stumbling and loss of coordination. Well, with that, I'm going to wish you all a very safe and pleasant winter, no matter where you reside and whatever weather conditions that you encounter. Stay safe, stay warm. Thanks for listening, and until next week, I'm Kathy Van Skoik. You've been listening to Silver Threads, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. The audio producer for this show is Maureen Rich, and I'm Kathy Van Skoik. I hope you will join me again next week for more information and updates for making the best of your silver years. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.